The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. Here we see our Savior Jesus making the most of our time as our substitute for us, but then he also directs the life of others as they live to serve him. They left the synagogue and went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed, sick with a fever. Without delay, they told Jesus about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, when the sun had set, the people kept bringing to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. He healed many people who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. But he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went out. He withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." Then he went throughout the whole region of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Okay, that's enough time. Let's go. No time to lose. Skip the sermon, huh? Amen? Let's get moving. Stewardship of time. We gotta make the most of it. Get out your planners. We are going to find out how to maximize this week for the Lord. Let's do it. Here we go. Okay, maybe not. Stewardship of time is all about get out the productivity books, get out the calendar, and let's do it. Actually, today we are talking about a stewardship, a management of time. But mostly not ours. We're talking about God's management of time. God's plans. In particular, Jesus' plan to heal you. And this does affect how we use and manage our time. First of all, Jesus' plan to heal you enables you to use your time to serve. That's what happened for Peter's mother-in-law. In our gospel reading, she wasn't able to do anything with her time. She was sick. She was in bed. So sick she couldn't even join them for church that day in the synagogue. So Jesus and the disciples go to the synagogue, and it was a very exciting day in church. Jesus had to drive out a demon from someone who kept interrupting his sermon. And then after that, they go back to Peter's house for the traditional post-church meal. Maybe you have this, maybe you go to Fuzzy's. But they were going home. And so they went to the home, and no food cooking. Nothing waiting. That's right. Because she's sick. So sick they couldn't get anything ready that day. And so without delay, they tell Jesus about her. Jesus, she's sick. And what do we see from Jesus? How does he manage his time there? All right. Let's let her suffer a little longer. No, he right away. What happens? Jesus went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her. Just like that. The man who had cast out a demon from someone at church now came to the home and cast out this fever. And here's the first important point that we do see about managing our time in Jesus' plan. What does Peter's mother-in-law do right away? It's put so simply. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. Not the fever left her, and she said, "Awesome, now I can go on that vacation I was going to go on." Not the fever left her, and she said, "Now I must shave my head and dedicate my life to the Lord, enter a convent, or go across the world on a mission trip to pay him back." No, the fever left her, and she began to serve. Right there, in her home, with the stuff she had at hand, with the people who were around her. She used the time that she had. She used the vocation that she had, the home she had, the people she had. She used it all in order to serve. Why does Jesus heal you? Well, maybe you're thinking, Jesus hasn't healed me. At least not that dramatically. It's not like yesterday I had cancer and today, all of a sudden, poof, miracle, it's gone. Jesus can do that. But normally he does heal you in ways that seem less impressive to us, but are no less God's hand in our lives. He uses natural means. And he does heal you. If I had you raise your hands for everybody who's once broken a bone in your body, I could probably have you keep your hands up and ask how many of you had that bone get better. How many of you were healed? All of you. How many of you are here today? You woke up. Each day is a gift of God's grace. You're breathing, you're alive. That's healing. Sometimes it feels like you have a cold forever. But how many times have you felt that way? Lots of times, because you've had lots of colds. Why? Because most of the time Jesus has healed you from that cold, from that flu, from that virus, by giving you an incredible immune system, or by giving you nurses, giving you doctors, giving you friends and family to take care of you. Jesus has healed you so many times in life. And what do you do with that? How do you answer the question in your heart when you are suffering, when you're in pain, when you're sick? I wish I could get better so that I could live pain-free, so that I can go on vacation. Those things are okay. But if that's what's at the center of our heart, if that's what matters to us most, then we are wasting time. No, Jesus heals you so that you can serve. But what about when he doesn't heal you? What about when that illness lingers? What about when you're getting older and it doesn't seem like God is going to turn back the clock and you're not able to serve like you used to? What then? Well, then Jesus' plan enables you to be served. To be served. You know, pastors, we have the blessing of visiting lots of people when they're not able to come to church and to bring them God's encouragement and to bring them communion. And when we do that, I often get two things. First, appreciation. And second, apologies. Appreciation that we would come and give them the good gifts of Jesus. And we say, yeah, great, that's not us, that's Jesus. And then secondly, an apology. So often people are so sorry that we had to come. Oh, Pastor, I know you're so busy, you probably don't have time for this. I'm sorry you had to come, bring me this. And of course the pastors say, that's right, shame on you. No, of course not. We say, are you kidding me? I'm so glad we got to come. I'm so glad we got to serve you. This last week, I'm not making this up just for the sermon. This last week, if I had to point to the best part of my week, it's when I got to visit people with communion. One in particular, when this couple was so appreciative of the gospel. And here I am, and I get to see how important Jesus is. What a reminder to me, what gifts God gives. These people served as examples of Jesus' love and Jesus' service, Jesus' grace. What a gift that they were served by Jesus. Don't be sorry for that. A lot of you know what this is like. A lot of you love to serve. You're the kind of people who are more excited about others' birthdays. You'd rather give than receive. Jesus says this is an awesome thing. You love to help people. But it's not a bad thing to be in the other position. Think about Jesus on the last day when he separates the believers from the unbelievers. He says, believers, you get to inherit eternal life because of me. And then he starts naming things that they did as proof that they were believers. He says, and by the way, when you helped that person who was sick, when you visited that person, you did that for me. When you served these people, it was like serving Jesus. You see what's happening? When you serve, you're being like Jesus. You're serving with his grace and his love and his compassion. But when you're served, you're also playing the part of Jesus for someone else who gets to share Jesus' love and compassion with you, who gets to serve. What a wonderful blessing that is. Would you take Peter's mother-in-law out of this story? It wouldn't be as exciting. Jesus went to the synagogue. He had church. No demon-possessed people. Everybody was fine. And then he went home, and everybody was fine, and he had lunch. The word of the Lord. Maybe a little more exciting that Jesus had people to help, that he got to drive out a demon, that he got to go home and heal this woman with something that Peter would never forget. And Jesus loves doing this. Think about what happens later. After a long day for Jesus, what happens that night? We read, that evening when the sun had set, the people kept bringing to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. He healed many people. Jesus did not say, "Huh, I can't believe you people. You keep lining up. You keep needing my help." He healed them. This is what Jesus does for us. And yes, most of the time it's through natural means, but he's happy to do that for you. When you need help, he's happy to provide friends and family and coworkers. He's happy to provide nurses and doctors and medicine and rest. He's happy to keep serving you with those things as long as it takes, even if this illness lingers your whole life long. Jesus is happy to serve you, and what a blessing it is to be served. Because that's proof of Jesus' love, isn't it? When you have nothing to offer Jesus but your sickness, he is still happy to serve you. He's still happy to heal you. Yes, often physically, but those physical things point to the most important way he heals you, spiritually. Jesus' plan to heal you is always part of his big plan to heal you forever. What does Jesus do the next morning after he spends all this time helping people, healing people? Does he sleep in? Boy, I deserve it. I had a long day yesterday. No. What does he do? Jesus got up early in the morning, while it was still dark, and went out. He withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. How does Jesus use his time? Don't miss the point here of why Jesus was healing people physically, why he came to do those miracles, why he even heals you today. The point is what he's praying about here. Jesus gets up early in the morning and he prays. And what is Jesus praying about? It's what he's always praying about. Father, your will be done. And what was God's will for Jesus? It was for him to save you, not just in this life, but forever. To save you eternally. 99.9% of the time, Jesus heals us in this life. But what about that 0.1% of the time when he lets us die? What about that? That's the time when he says, I have something even better for you. better healing, perfect healing. And that's what Jesus is praying about here. He's praying for you. Father, work your eternal plan for them, to heal them forever. And Jesus says, and Father, whatever I have to do to make that happen, let me do it. Let me serve. And that's what he did. What does Jesus do next? After the disciples find him, and they say, Jesus, where have you been? Come back. Let's do more physical healings. That's really cool. Jesus says this, let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come. Why is Jesus up early in the morning, making the most of his time? Why is Jesus praying perfectly in your place, setting his priorities in order? Why? To preach the good news. To share that good news, to be that good news. What a joy it was for Jesus to serve you with every last breath, to carry your infirmities and your sorrows and know what it's like to have the terminal illness of sin. He had that. He knew what was happening. What a blessing that Jesus had people to help him in his life physically, angels to serve him when he needed help. And what a blessing for him to serve you in his death, to die to take away that illness of sin and rise again to promise that that 0.1% of the time is the time when Jesus heals you perfectly from everything that could ever ail you this side of heaven. That's Jesus' plan, to serve you, to heal you. And so that's the plan we're opening up today. Open up Jesus' planner, it's the Bible, and see God's will for you. See the wonderful plans he has for you. See how your plans fit inside God's plans. And see how Jesus enables you to use your time to be served by him. Yes, and to serve him in time and in eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.